And, Jeff, one of the biggest challenges I have, and I assume others have, is proper breathing and how that can really improve your technique, but also just improve, you know, how you run specifically, how you're working out, everything else. So what's the most common mistake when it comes to breathing during physical activity?
Good question. So quick anxiety breathing. We see this a lot in people that are not accustomed to competition or participating in activities that are foreign to them. This can cause hyperventilation, leading to dizziness. And hyperventilation occurs when the rate of breathing eliminates more carbon dioxide than the body can produce. So that's not a good thing. The most common mistake is breath holding. And this is problematic for many reasons. It induces an elevated blood pressure response, premature fatigue, and dizziness that we've already covered. And all your muscles, including your brain, are competing for oxygenated blood. So this physiological process is very difficult when you're holding your breath. So don't hold your breath.
Now, what about when you lift, if you're lifting a heavy weight?
Well, yeah, that's a little bit different. So when we're doing more maximal effort lifting, there is a maneuver. It's called the Valsalva maneuver, and it's performed by trying to exhale against a closed airway, okay? So what this does, this like holding of the breath and breathing hard against the closed airway increases thoracic and overall skeletal stability. So during heavy lifts, this is actually a good thing. And this is very popular with power lifters and Olympic lifters in competition, but it's not advisable for the novice strength training athlete.
Okay.
So wouldn't advise it there.
Okay. So is there a standard breathing protocol for physical activity?
Well, that's a good question. And a couple of things to consider here. Posture. Regardless of the sport, good posture ensures fuller, deeper breathing patterns. So that's a must. Nose versus mouth breathing. There's no hard, fast rule here, but the intensity typically dictates. So low intensity, many people will breathe through their nose. As the intensity starts to creep up, it gets higher. It leads to what we call combination breathing. And this technique allows for greater O2 or oxygen transport. So that's probably the most common consistent protocol would be the combination breathing as the intensity starts to go up.
Jeff Woods joins us, an Edmonton sports leader, TSN 1260. So is there like specific sport breathing? Like I would assume there is, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right, Jason. Like many instinctive breathing patterns in sports. So I'll give you an example. If we look at high impact sports like football or hockey, the athlete instinctively inhales and holds their breath to brace the skeletal structure for the tackle or the impact of the check. Now, in sports like tennis or golf, inhalation and hold techniques tend to produce better outcomes pre-stroke. Let me expand on that. So in tennis, for example, if you've ever been out hitting ground strokes, whether you're trying to do it or not, instinctively you hold your breath just prior to making a ground stroke to hit that tennis ball back across the net. And the same thing in golf. If before a putt, if you hold your breath just to maintain better skeletal stability and then make the stroke, typically you will putt better. So that's my pro tip for anybody out there on the golf course. If you've got the yips and you've got those little 3-footers, hold your breath just for a split second to improve your spinal stability and make the putt. And I want 10% of your earnings if you turn to gold on the golf greens.
But only hold your breath right before you take your backswing, correct?
Correct. Absolutely correct. Yeah, not for all your practice and everything else. It's a very limited amount of time that you're holding your breath. And then for activities like yoga, Pilates, or stretching activities, the instruction there would be to inhale going into the pose and exhale moving out of the stretch or the pose. Now, with running, we've got some really subtle sort of nuances with the different styles in running and how you might breathe. So sprinters, for example, they breathe with quick, deep bursts to match their arm and leg motion. And it's very typically, Jason, a 1-1 count cadence. So it's very quick breaths. Distance runners, on the other side of the equation, breathe with more rhythmic patterns that match up to their third or fourth running stride. So an example here would be a slower inhalation with an exhale on the third stride. And that seems to produce really good results, and the athlete doesn't hyperventilate, and you know, you can settle into your long runs. And then for strength training, for function, if we're just strength training for good health, the typical cue is to exhale on the exertion phase of the repetition. Let me expand on that. So we'll use a bicep curl as the example. The exertion phase of a bicep curl would be curling the dumbbell up towards your shoulder. That would be the exertion phase. So as you're doing that, you're exhaling on that phase of the repetition. And then we've already covered the maximal effort lifting, but in closing, if everybody listening was just to honor some of these breathing guidelines, you'll really find that it may improve performance outcomes regardless of your sport or activity.
Jeff Woods joins him at Sports Leader TSN 1260. I want to get to, you know, mouth breathers, because I think I'm a little bit of a mouth breather sometimes. So, you know, I'll sit there, got my mouth open, I'm running. I can't run with my mouth closed. Is there any study that says you're more efficient runner if you're a mouth breather or a nose breather?
Well, not really. The most important part of that equation is being able to process as much oxygen as possible. That's what's going to help you be efficient. So with your mouth open and, you know, taking in both air through your nose and mouth, that combination style is going to be the most productive in terms of making you efficient and not having you hyperventilate as a distance runner. I do the same thing, Gregor. It would be a combination breath scenario. But I think most people, even if they're not trying to do that, I think they would find that that is typically the case for most.
Okay. We did have a text about swimming, and I learned this the hard way from the national swim coach. And luckily, we had him on the show, and he gave me some swimming lessons when I tried to do a triathlon. Well, actually, I did it, but he's explained how the big mistake people make in swimming is when they're swimming lanes or swimming however, when you turn your head to the side, by then you should be out of breath because you've exhaled into the water and then you inhale. And I was trying to inhale and exhale at the same time, and obviously that never works. So exhale into the water for all of the novice swimmers. I learned that
right.
The hard way.
No, good point. Excellent tip.
It's a good one, Jeffrey. So I'm curious about the it's interesting about breathing. I think it's very important because it keeps people calm, right? Like if you can get into a good rhythm of breathing, usually you end up exerting less energy because you're not taking those quick breaths, correct?
Absolutely. You will be a lot more efficient and less likely to overreact in a competitive situation as well. And you know, one other thing about the breathing thing too, Jason, this is an area in exercise prescription that is typically overlooked. Like it's kind of skimmed over. You know, we put emphasis on so many other components of our training and the actual structure of a training program. But breathing techniques and advanced breathing techniques, especially when it comes to weight training and sprint running, it should be a part of the educational pathway as well, improving performance.
Great stuff, Jeffrey. Really appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Very welcome, Jason.